I'm here freestyling. We're out. It's October. It's spooky season. Jimmy's upstairs. He's trying to get some batteries. He's coming back downstairs in his skinny pants. Oh, I gotta turn this off. Hold on.
It's gonna die. Did you already start?
No. Yes.
Think it's recording?
No.
No. All right. You can start us off.
Are we on? Right. All right. So welcome to Lisa Reads You Meet, episode something. Tonight, Jimmy and I are drinking our favorite Watershed. And what kind of crazy beer you got over there?
This is Great Lakes.
Elianess.
Lager.
Who was Elianess? He was like a mobster. Or no, was Elianess? And then Nina Simone had something to do that. I only know that via a Fuji song.
History's most famous agent of prohibition.
Yeah, okay, so Elliot Ness provided alcohol, and then who is Nina Simone? You know, I'll be Nina Simone defecating on your microphone. You know? You know that from? Oh, maybe that's not a Fuji song. Maybe it's just a Lauryn Hill. Did you mess with Lauryn Hill when you were younger? No. And or the Fugees?
Fugees, maybe.
The Fugees were pivotal when I was younger, like in my life.
Nina Simone was an American singer, songwriter, pianist, composer.
Pianist.
And a civil rights activist.
Okay, so I don't know what that reference was, but I'll be Nina Simone defecating on your microphone.
Wow.
It's Lauryn Hill. It's from a song. It was so good.
What was the pre? I don't know that one.
I don't know, but Lauryn Hill, like in the early aughts, was the best. Oh my God. Oh my God. Like her song, Killing Me Softly. I know every word.
Well,
to
yeah,
that song.
I know that song. Okay.
Yeah. And then the doo-wop one. That one. That was so good. And then she was in Sister Act, like Lauryn Hill was.
Really?
Yeah. And then there was a rumor that she hated white people. Do you remember that rumor?
No.
Oh, my God. So I went to like a very mixed school. So it was half white people, half black people. So there was a lot of black people around me. And they would.
And white people.
Yeah, it was a mix. It was a mix. Well, it was a weird situation because I went to this arts middle school and we got merged with an inner city school because the inner city school was, their numbers weren't doing great. So they were like, instead of getting rid of this school, since we're trying to bring up this other school, why don't we merge them? But it was just two very different groups of people. It was inner city kids who were like rough and tumble. And then kids that were like, I like art and I want to go to school for art. Like, so it was an interesting middle school, to say the least, but it was like super awesome. I mean I loved
it. Did you all? You're very artistic.
And I'm also got my little street cred. Like, I'm,
you know who,
but anyways,
whoever that girl is.
You know Lauryn Hill?
Yeah, yeah. Anyways,
there was a rumor.
The one shitting on your mic.
That Lauryn Hill hated white people and that like she would rather die than like have a white person buy her album. And I remember hearing that as like a little kid and being like, that's so weird. What? Like, I have her album. Is she gonna die? Like, it was so bizarre. I mean, it was an obscure rumor.
Yeah, but, yeah, yeah.
But it is what it is.
That's right, yeah.
Rumors when you're in middle school are like Bible.
Well, pre,
when you hear them, you're like, yeah, that's it.
Pre-internet.
Yeah, you're like, I have no way of checking if this is real or not.
Somebody
so
had,
this
like,
is truth.
Like a rat in their anus or something.
Oh my
or
God.
Like someone had to have like their stomach pumped from too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like those were all like,
you're like,
pre-internet rumors.
Yeah.
That,
but also yeah, little kids are so easily susceptible. Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was just talking tonight about, it was a sex thing. Because I had a friend who took a shower with a guy.
Oh, yeah.
And she was like, I think I'm pregnant. And I was like, I'm pretty sure you are. Pretty sure you are. Like, I don't know how this works, but you got to go to the doctor.
Oh, goodness.
It's a wild world. Anyways, I'm sorry. That's not what our episode is about today. It's Wednesday. It's Turn Up Wednesday. It's probably come out on Thursday. So Jimmy and I are just, you know, having a good time.
Heck yeah.
You know, so might have had a few drinks before this, but that's all right because my mind is clear. I'm mindful. I'm back.
Yeah.
We're back.
We're talking about like dairy and stuff.
Yeah. We're here for a dairy episode. I think this is a geared towards dairy episode. I think it's good to reiterate the basics every once in a while.
Yeah. And this is just more of a casual what's up with dairy lately in the vegan world. But
how's
yeah,
it changed?
For sure. It has changed a lot.
Dairy has?
I mean, since we've been in the game.
Okay.
Well, fake dairy, I should say.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, not real dairy.
Fake dairy. All right, let me talk about food for a second.
Yeah. What you working on?
Well, it's fall. Casseroles. Been hitting up the casseroles lately.
The breakfast one was pretty dope.
Ah, it was all right. That was just like a regular casserole. That was like I didn't want to make breakfast the next day, so I threw it together. But you know what was good is... tonight I made veggie burgers and I make them, they're in the rotation. You know, you got like your five or six, you know, recipes that you do over and over and over.
You?
I do. I'd say veggie burgers is in the rotation. Also chili is in the rotation.
Yeah.
And I made chili last night and it was slamming.
It was fantastic.
And it was with TVP and I feel like I need to use TVP more often. It
used to be like your main
my
ingredient.
My go-to. And it's so much more economical because it's a dried and like one cup equals like seven cups hydrated.
Bring
like
back
it's like
TV.
A real.
So you don't use it recently? It used to be like a staple.
I used it. I used it yesterday for chili.
I'm saying like, but typically
I was using like Beyond Beef or Impossible or some sort of like frozen beef.
Okay. Because
I thought I was bougie or something,
so
but I need to get back to TVP. It's just a dried soy protein.
So it makes it like a meat texture? Okay, I thought it was like a powder or something. What
it's
am I confusing it with?
No, you're
what's
in,
the thing in like the yellow?
That's nutritional yeast.
Yes, I was confusing it with that.
I put nutritional yeast in
but yeah, TVP.
Everything.
When I was in college.
Used TVP.
I had a roommate
TVP,
who.
TVP, textured vegetable protein.
Wanted to do a vegan, or we called it vegetarian. I don't even think vegan was a word back then.
Mm.
It
was.
Taco night. I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was.
It was an actual word, and it was an actual thing.
I hadn't heard of it. But we did a vegetarian taco night with TVP that you could buy in a grocery store. This is in like 2003.
This leads me back to my theory.
Yes.
That you are a wizard that grew up in God knows how long ago.
I'm a vampire.
And you're a vampire, and you're not aging.
Okay.
Because you were like, oh, vegan. I don't even think vegan was, it wasn't even a thing yet.
Well, you know, it's a different
you're not
world
aged.
Up there.
You're not aged. You've not aged.
People weren't saying vegan in 2003.
I was a vegan in 2003.
Did you use that term?
Yes. I wasn't using plant-based.
People just were vegetarians, but they didn't really know the difference.
Moving on.
That'll come up in today's episode, I
TVP
guess.
TVP has been around, and I just used it. You should use it. It's a, I mean, I think I use like Bob's. It's like Bob's Mill.
What's
I don't
the brand?
Know. Yeah, it's good. But it's good stuff. I made chili last night and it was awesome. I would recommend doing, you got to put sugar in your chili in some form. You got to put honey in there, maple. Or I just put like white sugar because I'm just, you know, lazy
wow,
like that.
Yeah.
But you got to put sugar. You got to put a lot of acid in there. You got to put a lot of salt. You got to salt at every single step. Every time you put something different in that pot, you have to salt it. Which is crazy. Most people don't do that.
Why?
Because every single time you add something to that pot, the purpose of salt is to like draw the moisture out. And if you don't draw the moisture out of every single thing, then those flavors just get like lost in the pot. So like every time you put something in there and if you draw the moisture out, it kind of like it makes that whatever you put in there like an individual thing. But if you don't salt, it just gets it's like blah.
Do you read things?
I do. Jimmy, I do.
Is that
and I,
where you find this
information? Yes, I read things and I look at cookbooks and I listen to Masterclass.
Oh, God.
No, I mean, I try to stay eligible. Anyways, chili last night, slamming.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
It was really good. And then tonight, I was saying my veggie burgers in my rotation. I make veggie burgers a couple different ways. You can make veggie burgers with TVP, which is super good. And there's a lot of recipes online for that. But my go-to is sweet potato, some sort of bean. Like, I used chickpeas tonight, but you can use red beans or black beans. Have not used white beans or Great Northern because they are a much creamier bean. And I think you need a little bit of like a harder bean. I've actually seen some recipes where they used beans and they cooked them like on a cookie sheet and dried them. Because when you're making a veggie burger, the moisture level is really like important. And if you have too much moisture, it's not going to work. If you have too little. So, but you want to err on like a drier side bean.
Yeah.
I love telling you these things because you look at me, you're like, I literally have no idea
I'm
what
listening,
you're talking.
I'm
you're
listening.
Listening
yeah.
But like in your head, it's like, no. Yeah. What are we talking about? Pants, clothes, socks? Like, anywho.
What's they look like, it's like oats.
The binder. Yeah. So the binder was, I pretty much always use oatmeal because I love the way oatmeal tastes in a veggie burger. And
yeah, it's really good.
Oatmeal, works as a binder. So like you got all these wet ingredients and then you put the dry ingredients with it and it comes to form a patty. But then to really get it over that hump of making sure you can form a solid burgers, I put in maybe like a third of a cup of seitan. What's that flour called? Like a gluten, you know, the gluten flour.
Yeah.
And that really held it together. And I love putting peanut butter in my veggie burgers and sriracha.
Okay.
I've been really hitting the heat lately.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's like the fall time. I just like things to be a little spicy.
Flavor, yeah. I mean, something spicy.
Oh, and I put kale in it, too. It was slamming.
They're great.
I had two of them.
I had one, but with the thought of I might eat another one.
Later.
I like my late night snacks.
You get back to the kitchen late at night often.
I do.
I don't.
It's a nightcap. Nightcap burger.
It's right. Well, we eat so early. Yeah. Like, we ate dinner at 4:45 yesterday. Literally.
Yeah.
And then, we had like soccer. We had a full night. But at like 9:30, as we all get into bed together.
Yeah, that's when
literally.
All five of us. Well,
you, me, and Bob and Max get into our bed together.
And a 100-pound dog.
Well, he sleeps on the ground.
Yeah, yeah. But we're all in one room.
We're all in.
I thought about that last. There's five bodies in here.
Yeah.
Sam being one of the bigger ones.
I wouldn't have it any other way. Anyways, as we all get into bed, I was like, it was like 9:30. And I was like, I'm still hungry. And you were like, yeah, I'm so hungry too. And then like Bob was like, yeah, I'm hungry too. And I was like, well, you guys, it's too late. All right. Yeah. We're in bed. We're just going to have to eat a really big breakfast tomorrow. Like, it's over. But we ate so early that we probably could have revisited
Once
some
you've
food.
Settled in, though, yeah. That makes breakfast all the better. You know, you worked for it. You earned it.
Mm-hmm.
Get that coffee and get that bagel sandwich.
Can I get that bagel sandwich is good, but can I give a little piece of advice of my new sleeping habits?
Sure.
Revolutionized my sleeping.
Okay.
I love it. Jimmy, when's the last time I left the bed?
It's been a minute.
It's been a minute.
Yeah, it's
you
been
know
a
why?
Bit. Why?
So
I didn't know something changed.
There's like it's some Eastern European country. I saw it online. Okay. And it was like, this helped save my marriage. And I was like, what is it? So I looked. And it was like, put two comforters on your bed.
Oh, I thought you would like have like a mental change or some kind of deep thinking or.
Mm-mm, no.
Okay.
But it has had profound changes on my sleeping habits. It has profound changes.
Well, explain what it is.
Okay.
So
Jimmy is a very violent sleeper. You thrash and you turn and you get up and
allegedly.
You go pee and you. You move and the sheets look like a tornado by the end of the day or the end of the night.
Yeah.
And one of the biggest problems is our kids come in our bed and like that's an issue. And we had one comforter for all of us and it just wasn't working.
All four of us.
So I put two comforters on our bed. Like, mind blown. I have a comforter. Jimmy has a comforter. And I love it. I love it so much. It makes my sleep so much better because half my issue was trying to fight for covers and being annoyed. I would wake up just a little mad at you every morning.
What took so long to figure this out?
No, but I'm just saying, if you sleep with someone who is a violent sleeper, go put two comforters. And like, then I also like when you get up to go pee in the middle of the night, it's not as disruptive because I don't feel, you don't rip the covers off. I don't get like a wave of cold air because you like move the covers.
I get that.
You know?
Makes sense. Makes sense, honestly.
Try it.
Especially.
Try it.
I don't know how we haven't before.
What?
Done this.
I don't know, but I'm loving it. Loving my decision.
No. Highly recommended, yeah. I guess. But you have to have two comforters.
Yeah.
And a giant bed.
I knew that Jimmy was, that you were in the wrong.
Because, oh, I was the violent
because
offender.
I was like, I'm going to put two comforters in the bed. And you were like, why? We're fine. We sleep just fine. I have plenty of covers at night. And I was like, yeah, because you have plenty of covers and I don't. Like,
interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Clearly, well, yeah, yeah, you're sleeping just fine, man.
I mean, I do. But with a small.
I know.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a simple man.
Okay.
But yeah, I do thrash. Now that I have my own comforter,
yeah,
I can tell that I can whip it around more and
go for it,
tuck it in there under the knees,
thrash all day.
Fair enough, fair enough.
All right, let's get into dairy.
Yeah, I guess that's what we're talking about.
We
did a couple episodes early on, and
we're back.
Never interviewed anyone about dairy, but anyways, I was thinking about that. I don't know. It's weird. I feel like when we started this podcast almost 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
That, I guess it was 5 years ago. Sorry.
Yeah.
That that was like the main thing. Like veganism was hot.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was always like
dairy. Dairy.
Yeah.
Dairy's bad.
I'm into veganism, but I just can't give up the dairy.
Because I love cheese.
Yeah. So I think it's a topic that needs to be revisited, I guess.
That's what everyone says.
Yeah.
I just fucking love cheese, man.
Still to this day. And I don't know. I guess I have a different mindset
so
on it.
Good.
It's been so long.
Yeah. I don't know. Is it that good? I don't. People really losing their mind.
Well,
over it. Whenever someone tells me that, I feel bad because inside my heart, I'm like, yeah, that's silly, but okay.
Well, I like it. I mean, I've been talking about this to people a lot lately, the taste bud thing.
Changes.
And that's something that I didn't realize as a vegan early on.
Mm-hmm.
Your taste buds do change.
Yeah. Like if you gave me a piece of bark, I'd be like, not bad. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you gave it to somebody else, they'd be like, it's disgusting. I'd be like, what?
I don't know if it's quite that.
I don't know.
Quite that tough as a vegan. But the
kind of tastes like gin to me.
The cheese thing, cheese repulses me now. Real cheese, if I
that's
see it or smell it.
That's
but
doesn't repulse me. And also,
now?
I think I've been slipped cheese or dairy at some point, and it has not made me sick, where it makes you sick. It
makes you very sick. But I can instantly tell
yeah
that it's happening. I just sometimes, I don't know, ignore it accidentally or not. But yeah, I immediately get sick.
Mm-hmm.
That's the, I guess, the lactose intolerant thing that, you know, we are making ourselves tolerant of cheese.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess go back to the taste bud thing. It's kind of weird because I had an obsession with cheese, loved it on everything.
Mm-hmm.
And now real cheese is gross to me, but vegan cheese
is
just as good as old cheese in the sense that, like, it's not necessary, but I would much rather have a cheeseburger than a hamburger. I'd
yeah
much rather melt cheese on a taco or, you know. But and it gives me that same satisfaction.
Right.
But real cheese.
We've gotten in many a fights over cheese. Because when I make hamburgers, you're always like, can I put cheese in this?
Yeah, I like to melt some cheese on there.
Bitch, you got $4 to spend on two hamburgers?
Well, it's getting maybe cheaper.
I was like, we're making hamburgers. We ain't making cheeseburgers.
Yeah, that's reminds me of my childhood.
Sorry, boo. I don't know who you think you are.
I remember getting to the point where, like, in high school, though, where, like, a hamburger? Who eats a hamburger?
Everyone.
There was, like, no such thing.
No.
A burger without cheese on it.
The elite eat cheeseburgers, okay?
And they don't.
I don't even eat hamburgers with the buns. I eat a burger
well,
with
you,
some
I'm talking about, sorry, I'm talking
some
about
ketchup.
People who consume dairy.
No
I don't
one
think
eats a,
no one eats a hamburger.
Cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I knew one dude that ate hamburgers, and I was like, you're just doing that because it's different.
Yeah.
But nobody was eating a hamburger.
I don't.
But to this day, I mean, again.
Let's get back to the script here.
Well, there is no script. That's what we're just
staring at a blank computer screen.
With a piece of cheese on it. But no, I think that obviously taste buds do change. I'm just saying my craving for cheese, it's not a craving anymore because it literally was a craving. I do like cheese on stuff, and it does taste the same as satisfying, whether it's you make a charcuterie board or you Taco Bell's new vegan nacho fries.
Heard like, that was good.
That liquid cheese
was good.
Hits like nacho cheese to me. But again, it might be because my taste would change. I don't know if, I need to give that to a non-vegan, like Jeff or somebody, and be like, is this good cheese?
Yeah.
Good in the sense of like shitty
fast food cheese.
Yeah, or something you get poured on your nachos at a baseball game. I just haven't had it. Liquid cheese that I liked since I was vegan until the Taco Bell.
Liquid cheese has just never been a priority of mine.
Nor should it.
You could put that on like my resume that liquid cheese has never been a priority.
I think it'd be a commendable thing.
It's not something I've thought about a lot. It's not something I've talked about a lot.
But like a Philly cheesesteak. That's the first thing I thought of when I tried this. Like that's typically a
liquid cheese.
A liquid cheese whiz. Yeah. So my first thought was like, I want to put this on everything. I'm talking about the Taco Bell liquid vegan cheese now. And it has like vegan written across it. They're not They're not short selling it like, I don't know, like the the Impossible Whopper and stuff.
Yeah.
If they're not blasting vegan all over that. Well, they put real cheese on them if you don't ask them not to, and mayonnaise. So they're not pushing the vegan thing.
That's exciting.
But this literally says vegan. And when you're in the drive-through menu, it says it on the screen, vegan. Like, on that note, side note, I guess. We'll get to this eventually.
They're all side notes.
I was doing a job for a client, and she was thawing some
T-bone steak.
In her sink.
What type?
And I happened to look because I had just installed the sink, and I was like, oh, man, you have, like... You're really, like, plugging up the sink? Like, you're really testing all the gaskets and everything? Yeah. But it was like, a pound of ground beef and then a pound of...
Ground beef.
Of Beyond Beef.
Oh, really?
And I was like, this was
my Cincinnati
job. Yeah. And I was like...
Very cute.
Beyond Beef, huh? Or no, I think it might have been...
Impossible?
No, it was Beyond because it was, like... I don't think Impossible does ground beef.
Do they?
Okay. Whatever. It was ground beef, like, in a pack. It wasn't, like, a patty. I was like, interesting. I was like, I had to inquire.
Yeah.
And is that
for me?
I don't tell people I'm vegan, especially old people, especially clients, because I just don't want to. I'm trying to work. I don't want to have that conversation. And
I do feel like you lose a lot of output because you're chit-chatting.
Yes. I'm avoiding chit-chat in certain scenarios a lot. But, I mean, it makes... customers comfortable with you and stuff, or
yeah, but you can't be chit-chatting half the day.
Yeah, but I brought it up, and she was like, "Have you had it?" And I was like, "Yeah,
I actually have you heard of Lisa Beats Your Meat?
Yeah, you already know who I am. I'm just here for fun. Most of my income comes from this podcast that I do. But she said that she read that it's better, and she's just gonna mix it.
Really?
With her real beef.
That's adorable.
And she's an old woman, like 60, older. Yeah. And she was feeding
a mass
her family. Older relatives in their 80s. So I was like, that's kind of interesting. And I think that's where the the Impossible Whopper came from. Like, not on, like we're going to please the vegans.
But we want to, if you want to cut back a little.
Yeah, but someone...
Love
mixing
it.
But I said to her, like, just eat it,
yeah,
try it without mixing it, like it's pretty good.
Yeah,
but I don't know, I'm that far gone. I'm 9 years.
You are
last week I'm 9 years.
You're one of us.
9 years vegan, well, whatever that means. Okay, so cheese, we're talking about dairy
cheese.
Is the battery died yet,
Jimmy? Do your job.
Okay, so speaking of addictions, go back to the beginning. I mean, so the book that I read when I first was becoming vegan was Neil Barnhart's Cheese Trap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Highly recommend that. Very readable. Barnhart in terms of how he writes, mm-hmm. opposed to like the China Study or some of these older vegan books, or I don't know what any of the newer ones are, but that's where I started to learn about what milk is. And it's just something that we kind of take for granted, is the right word, but something we just are used to. We're raised by it. It's something that's embedded into us from an early age.
Well, it is a good source of protein, and that's like, as I'm learning, like,
and
I
calcium
have,
and I have a lot of nutrients.
I have a very skinny child, and I try to feed them. I have like that really high protein soy milk that I feed them with like every meal that I can get, but it is like a really high protein, high calories, high fat, which is like all the things you want to feed young kids. Like it probably has a lot of bad stuff in it, but I do, if I'm playing devil's advocate, I do understand why we feed it to children in the masses, because it does have a lot of good stuff.
Well, that's
it's full of a lot of other stuff, like these antibiotics and chemicals that you don't want.
Yeah, and hormones. I mean, that's where I was going with this, though. Like the point of milk is obviously
to grow babies.
Yeah, and we do that as humans. Right. And you milked our children, or they milked you
for 6 months or so, and then it's over. But yeah, like, and I mean, then, I have like a 5 and a 6 year old, and it's still very, it's a very serious topic for me to make sure that they're getting everything they need to get. So like, I mean, the soy milk that I buy is the, you know, just like the fucking most expensive one that
like
I can
silk
find.
Or something.
It's like the high protein, high fat. So when I'm feeding my children, I'm concerned about protein, but more so I'm concerned about fat content, because they need fat to grow. Like I know they're gonna get protein. I feel like we've talked about this in other studies and podcasts, but you're gonna get protein in everything you eat, but I need to make sure you're getting enough fats, because that's what's going to literally like skyrocket you to grow for your children. So I need the full fat milk. And milk, take away cheese, milk in general is a great, you know, substance that has like a lot of those growth things that you need for growth. But
yeah, but then there's
like this other side of dairy.
It's
so
sweet,
like, if I'm
too, so kids will actually,
and they'll drink it. Yeah.
Drink it. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But like, there's this other side of dairy where it's like, if I could get some sort of dairy that was from a cow that was all those great things that I want for my kids, but also not have this weird hormonal imbalance, not have this like weird lactose kind of, you know, fight going on in my body. If I could take away that would be the best, substance. And that's where I find that like soy milk or an almond milk. I think ours is an almond milk, or it's a cashew milk actually.
Do the kids have a preference?
No, they, I would say they probably don't like coconut milk, because it's kind of tastes a little coconut-y. It's
thinner too, isn't it?
It depends, but the
I like almond milk the best. I don't know if it's the sweetest, but I feel like that tastes the best with cereal.
It might be oat. I don't know if it's oat, soy,
well, whatever,
or almond.
It does fulfill that without
it does
the, and I get that, like, you're trying to get your kids fattened up essentially
to grow.
Yeah, but in reality, like, well, that's probably it. Like, maybe genetically, as humans, we're supposed to breastfeed children probably a lot longer than we do.
Oh, yeah, I would probably.
Maybe a year or two. What do you think, like,
a normal? Oh, my God, like what we were
naturally?
Actually?
I mean,
sweet Jesus. I don't know. I had a kid one time that I had like 12 kids in my class, and for some reason, we were talking about breastfeeding.
When you were a teacher?
Yes.
Okay.
And he was like, well, like, how long were you guys breastfed? And everyone was like, well, I wasn't. Like 99% of the kids were like, I wasn't. And he was like, well, okay, I was breastfed till I was five. We all were like, yeah, right. Okay, cool. And he was like, no, I'm serious. I was breastfed till I was five.
That's probably pretty healthy.
He was.
But yeah, I'm not advocating for that. But I think that
But there's a reason why dairy is so awesome. It just sucks that, one, our dairy is so tainted. Like, it would be one thing if I lived on a farm and I had a cow.
Oh, cow's milk. Yeah, it's just not for us.
Yes.
It's not for us.
No, it is not.
Your dairy's great. Correct. What is that dairy?
If I lived on a farm and I had one cow and I raised that cow and I said, I'm going to take your milk when you're pregnant. I'm going to take your excess, because there is when I was pregnant there, I could produce excess. Like, there's a small possibility if I had a goat that got pregnant and I'm going to milk your stuff.
That's still bad for you though.
In its most simplistic of terms, it's not, but we don't live in a world where that's available.
Yeah, I guess.
We don't live in a world where you can go to the grocery store and get a milk that's not been tainted by hormones.
Well, that's where
and
it goes
antibiotics.
Bad, because it goes bad so fast.
Because it's on a mass production.
Well, it could never make it to a grocery store without being highly produced,
right,
and processed, I guess. So it's very processed to stay,
market ready,
not poisonous,
right? Market ready
from the cow to your, yeah. So I don't know.
And then you think about, well, those hormones and those antibiotics, like, it's like eating a blueberry that has dirt on it or has, some sort of, bug on it. It's like, well, sometimes when you eat a dirty fruit and it's like, this blueberry is so good for me. Maybe just it's so good for me that it'll overcome all those problems because I didn't wash it that it has on it.
Yeah.
I don't think milk and dairy, I don't think they can overcome all those problems that it has in it. Like, no. The fat in it, that's great. The protein that it's in it is great. All those things that are good in it cannot overcome all those bad things you're eating.
And it's, yeah, exactly. It's killing people.
Yes, I would
it's
like.
Killing people. It's
I
not
would
keeping
like,
people alive.
No, I would like to acknowledge how good it could be for us. But in our day and age, how it's being produced and how it's being given to us is not, we can't overcome the good.
Yeah.
If I had a cute little cow on my farm in my backyard and I milked my cow, maybe.
If there was a famine and we went back to maybe how it was 500 years ago or something, not necessarily a famine, but food wasn't as abundant, and you discover this high calorie, high nutrient thing that you can get from a cow by just feeding it some grass or whatever, then
maybe.
I get it.
But it's not a society we live in. It's not a world we live in.
No, it's mass produced,
especially when you
processed.
Have options at your grocery store that offer you those high fat, high caloric substances without all that other stuff.
Yes, exactly. And it's, I don't know. It goes back to the vegan versus vegetarian thing. No one really calls themselves a vegetarian anymore, which is interesting. But when I say vegan to someone who's a little out of the game, they assume vegetarian. they assume, they don't know that we don't consume dairy.
Are we on? Sorry.
Yeah, we're
here. Oh, okay. I thought that. I just blew into that. You're going to have to, cancel that. Or
oh, yeah.
Edit
I'll
it
go
out.
Back through uh-huh. hour by hour.
Sorry. No. Hour by hour.
Minute by minute. But anyways, the consumption of cheese and dairy is something that we're used to, but it's more something we're addicted to, outside of just something that's going to fatten us up or fatten our kids up. But it is addictive. We've talked about that before, but it's breast milk to make a baby go from skinny to giant, a baby cow.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like,
I was just like, do you have any facts or figures?
Yes, I have a whole list. You just looked at my computer.
Let's go. Let's hear it.
Well, technically, a cow can get up to 300 pounds from birth. They'd be born 20 or 30 pounds.
A cow is born 20 pounds?
Up to 40.
A baby cow is that small?
When they come out, yeah. You've seen a baby cow. They're not fucking
horses.
I
felt like they were 75 to 100 pounds.
Like me? Like I come out?
You're not 75
pounds.
Well,
I'm 170,
pounds.
But...
I thought they were the size of Sam.
They're smaller than Sam, a baby cow. You've seen baby cows?
Oh my God, that's crazy.
But they're quickly fattened up to about 300 pounds.
How fast?
And then they're off the milk.
How
fast? I don't know.
God damn it.
But then they're off the milk. They don't even drink milk.
How long does a cow drink milk?
Until they're about 300 pounds. I don't know, what, a year? Maybe not even. Maybe 6 months.
I don't know my song.
How long does a cow...
Yeah, what's the age of a gestation?
I don't know. I'm not going to Google it. But the point I'm making is that cows don't drink milk
forever
once they become cows.
When is it appropriate for a human to stop drinking milk? When
yeah,
is
that's,
it
that's
inappropriate?
What we were talking about. I
when
I
is
know.
It inappropriate to ask for milk with dinner?
Well, that's a different story.
Because if like you went to like a date and someone was like, "Can I get a glass of milk?"
Yeah.
You'd be like,
"Well, I drink some soy milk with like some
with a dinner."
No,
no.
I mean
I did catch you drinking milk out of the carton, and I was like, "Excuse me."
I could be a lot more careful about that.
Oh my god!
But anyways, the fact that it's addictive because it's trying to
get you over that hump.
Yeah, just like a human baby is addicted to its mom's milk.
Because it's hard. You got to get over that hump.
Yeah, so there's opioid. We've talked about this before, but there's opiates in there, essentially. Mm-hmm. It does the same thing to your brain that an opiate that's highly addictive would do.
Yeah.
On purpose, because it's trying to keep things alive.
Was it casein?
Yeah, casein. And that's... Well, remember the like babies getting like milk drunk and stuff?
Yeah.
Like that term.
Yeah.
Like that's real.
Oh, yeah. Our kids used to be so cute when they would do that.
Get milk drunk? Yeah.
Yeah. And then they would just kind of be like, ah. Like their mouth would be like half open.
It's a high. It's a buzz.
Yeah.
And it's on purpose. It's something you're supposed to desire. So you want more of it.
Make sure you're alive. To make sure you're going to live past.
So you get off,
you know, a couple
days.
You
get off mom's milk and mom's dairy, and then you go to cow dairy, which the doctor tells you to give your kid around like a year.
Yeah.
The doctors would say around a year, right?
That you, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You get off the breast milk and you go on to the real milk and the whole milk, and you can work your way up to 2% or something. Like,
yeah.
And
I used to love breastfeeding. It was so cute. It was such like a precious moment.
It was. Yeah.
It was so like.
Sounds like you need another baby.
No, but it was so like it was like the most like a human being could be, you know? Like it was like
It's pretty natural shit, right?
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, like I'm feeding you.
Yeah.
Like I'm magic.
Stating you.
I'm literally magic. Mm-hmm. I made food in my boobs.
You made a person too.
Yeah.
In your body.
It's just wild.
It's
to
pretty
think.
Magical.
Yeah. And it came out of my boobs.
Yeah.
My little nipples. My boobs are so small, which is wild also, because they're so small, you know?
They weren't then.
No. Yeah. They're giant. And, you know, and then they go back, which is even wilder. Like I fed
Not
children.
Not for everyone, but
fed children with my boobs. Yeah. What do, you know?
Well.
Shot some sperm out 17 years ago.
Well, kids aren't that old.
But you know.
It doesn't hold, but
That's what you do.
Hey, you know.
It was
integral. It's part of the process. It's necessary.
Okay.
We don't need to.
Okay.
We can get into it, but.
You're like the acid in my chili. It was essential, but it was literally a teaspoon.
But yeah, but not good chili without it.
No, but you were 1%.
It's an important percent. Well, it's fine. So 100 years ago, the average American consumed 4 pounds of cheese a year.
4 pounds of cheese a year.
A year.
Okay.
So it's funny.
How many cups are in a cheese in a pound? 16 ounces, 1 ounce.
Yeah, 16 ounces are in a cup.
And 16 ounces in a pound, right? What is...
A pound is
I don't know.
Why do you want to know how ounces?
I'm just trying to visualize it in my head, and I know that in like one package of cheese it's 16 ounces. I don't do math.
One packet of cheese?
Yeah, it's usually like 13
16 ounces is a pound.
Got it.
So that'd be what,
so
four packs of cheese a year?
Oh my God, that's nothing. I ate now, 4 packs of cheese last week.
Well, that's the thing, is like also talking about our current cheese consumption or meat and any of that stuff. Like the thought that you were kind of saying, like that there's some justification for all the nutritional benefits of cheese, blah, blah, blah. Like the reason it came about probably was because it provided calories and benefits to people who were lacking that, trying to find food.
We've overdone it. We've overindulged.
Yes. So 100 years ago, yeah, and like in the 1920s, it was there to give you some nutrients here or there.
Right.
But today
we've got enough nutrients.
The average American consumes like 35 to 40 pounds of cheese a year. Which honestly, that seems, that's almost a pound a week.
Oh my God.
That's a lot of cheese. Yeah, that's
just
cheese.
No one pooping? No one's pooping.
I didn't poop until I was vegan.
No one's out there.
I would go 3 or 4 days. But some people, it's the opposite.
They make them poop
constantly, like liquid.
I think that it's better to poop all the time than it is to not poop.
I don't know. I don't know.
That's not.
I was a non-pooper before I went vegan. Yeah. Anyways.
That's crazy.
Number one way we consume cheese, you could probably guess that.
Pizza.
Yeah, pizza.
Pizza.
Pizza's definitely
it. Do people eat pizza every week?
I did growing up, every Friday.
We got it on Thursdays.
Friday was pizza.
Papa John's.
Why Thursdays?
I don't know, because I think we were busy on Fridays.
A cup of melted cheddar cheese is 1,000 calories.
Oh, my. Yeah. Wow.
I wonder how much is in the cup of melted vegan
probably comparable.
Taco Bell cheese. Probably,
comparable. I wouldn't say that. Like, let's not pretend like it's... It's just... It's not that it's better for you. It's just lacking certain things that are scary for you. I think that's more what it is. Don't get me started on this, like, it's just as bad for you. Like, yes. Yes, it is just as bad for you in many ways. If you look at the calorie, you look at the fat.
Vegan cheese?
Yeah, like, if you can compare them just, like, from a straight nutritional level, they're similar, they're comparable, but when it comes, you can't, like, there's not going to be on the nutrition label how many hormones were in this, how many pesticides were ingested by the cow that you killed for this cheese, you know, like,
yeah,
or whatever, like, there's not any way to qualify or quantify those, whereas I'm sure there's weird shit in vegan cheese too.
So I looked
but
that
there's
up.
Not antibiotics and hormones and that kind of weird shit, okay? Yeah.
And that's, so there's, I saw a meme the other day that was like making fun of the fact that, you know, vegans are so high and mighty when all their shit is processed kind of crap.
Well, it
and
turns,
I, like,
I mean,
yeah, it kind of is, but I looked it up.
Most vegans,
like,
are so overweight and so unhealthy. It's just, you know, it's like a ton of just like really unhealthy people.
That's a little frustrating.
Just kidding.
Yeah, when people are like,
so unhealthy
try
for
to
you.
School you on veganism when
they're not,
I don't know,
doing well.
Yeah, we're not bodybuilders, but we're in pretty good shape.
Well, and I wouldn't say we're fat for
no,
sure.
We're very on the scale of what our body should be at our age, and no one actually that's not vegan, I don't know,
takes that into consideration.
I think about this a lot, and it's hard to convey. I'm not good at it, but I see people who are trying to diet and trying to restrict what they eat.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. And I want to say to someone, like, you don't have to restrict what you eat. Just be vegan. And then I'm like, wait, no, I do restrict what I eat. I don't eat meat or dairy.
Right.
But once that line is drawn, I don't. Like, if I want to go upstairs and eat 2 more burgers tonight, I'm going to, and I'm not going to give a shit about it. I'm not going to gain a pound over it. Or I might not. You know, like, it's my body doesn't really change based on what I eat. And that's pretty nice for someone who doesn't have self-control in terms of, like, enjoying something they want to eat.
You do have some self-control, though.
I do, but I don't curb what I'm eating. I mean, again, I'm not eating all day, every day.
Rabbit hole. I don't even know how to, like, describe
it. I'm just saying there's not a time where I'm like, I want that, but I'm not going to eat it. But I don't want the things that I used to, I guess. Like,
yeah.
Chicken wings or a real burger or dairy. I don't know. That could be a whole different topic.
Every time
I
you
guess.
Say chicken wings, I just want to sing chicken wing, hot dog and bologna. You don't know that?
No.
Bob and Max sing it all the time. Chicken wings, hot dog and bologna.
Chow cheese, which I think is one of our favorites.
Yeah.
I looked it up. It's filtered water, coconut oil, modified corn and potato starch, fermented tofu, soybeans, water, salt, sesame oil, calcium,
toenails
sulfite
of children,
sea salt, olive
the
extracts
tears of monks,
and a beta carotene color.
And
so there's really not that
elephant
bad of stuff
testicles
in there. Okay, we get your jokes. I heard them.
you gotta acknowledge it.
I'm making a point here that there's really not anything that weird in it. Nothing that I couldn't even pronounce.
Right.
Where sometimes people get that.
Government cheese has a bunch of stuff in it.
Yeah, or people say the vegan stuff is full of like crazy, weird things that, you know, are just as dangerous for you. But they're not. It's mostly natural stuff. And it's clearly not dairy. We don't even know what's in cow milk. I mean, we do, but we don't know. Like,
they don't put it on the label.
We don't know
for
how
that
it affects us. Yeah. One thing they definitely don't put on the label, which is funny, is that it's good for you. But you watch a milk commercial, like a Got Milk commercial or something, and they imply that, but they can't actually put that on their milk carton.
It's lies.
Because there's no.
Just as much as, you know, Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake's relationship.
Oh, man.
It's lies. Getting abortions?
We want to go there.
Abortions, Britney?
Allegedly?
No. She wrote it. This is in her memoir.
That's why Justin wrote Bye Bye Bye.
Do you think?
I'm just kidding.
I'm literally.
Okay, let's wrap this up. This is getting carried away.
Oh, I did want to say about the kids eating, though. I read a study the other day that said that, little like precursor to this. My child is, both of my children are very picky, okay? Yes. Super picky. And they're also vegan, which doesn't work for the cause because they're not very big.
Nor should they be.
But I wasn't really big. Like, I've reiterated this, but, like, when I was younger, I was, like, the littlest by far. And then I hit middle school, and I was, like, then I feel like I got, like, a little bit above average. But that's neither here nor there. But I'm not concerned with them being small. But it's not a good image.
Not at all.
It's not a good image for them. And also, my job as a mom is just to feed them, which is, like, this gets annoying when they're, like, you know, you put food down, and you're, like, eat this, and they're, like, no. And then, but like as a vegan, I'm like, God, like our choices are more limited. So like stop saying no to everything because I don't know. Anyways, I read this study that said that picky eaters turn out to be better eaters in the long run. Okay. So they split kids into three different groups. One group was someone who ate everything on the plate, no questions asked. Someone who ate everything on the plate and ate till they were full, though. Or there, one group was like, ate everything you gave them. Okay.
Yeah.
Like just wouldn't stop. And then the second group
like
was
a dog.
Yeah. And then the second group was ate the whole plate and then were done, but like did what you asked, ate everything without question. And then the third group was picky and would be like, I'm not eating that. I'm not eating that. Like, we're very, very finicky about stuff. And they said that the third group of finicky eaters, picky eaters, turned out to be have healthier eating habits because when they would grow up, they thought about everything they ate. They would sit down and be like,
"Oh,
I like this.
I was
wondering.
Yeah,
I don't like this. I like this." But
might be something I should eat. Might be something I shouldn't eat.
Yeah, there was some sort of thought about the food choices they're making. Whereas the first two groups ate it without question, didn't even consider it. Ate to consumption or ate to past consumption because they just that's just how they were. So that a picky eater grows up to be a better eater because there's some thought.
Yeah, well,
so that's cool. I was like, yeah.
Good for
great
my,
for me.
My picky eating kids.
Yeah.
No, I think there's a fine line though. I mean, it's still pretty rare to raise vegan children.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a whole different topic. But I think you're obviously doing a great job. We're providing them not just food, but you're consciously thinking about what kind of nutrients they need, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But I think the overall
most expensive milk possible.
Yeah. The overall vibe that a kid should be a certain size, I think, is bullshit.
It's
they're being compared to this new unhealthy American lifestyle that we've developed over the past 50 years. Where I bet you a 4-year-old or a 6-year-old in 1950
was probably a different size.
Probably the size of our 5-year-old.
Yeah.
And he's not like oddly small. He's just a little bit smaller than some of the other kids.
He's not even that small anymore.
No, he's a normal sized kid. He's just skinny.
But compared to his other, when he was in kindergarten, he was the smallest. And now he's not.
Yeah. And I was skin and bones until I was like 20. So I think it's genetics, but it's also, like you said, it's an optic for someone who's trying to justify raising vegan children,
right?
Which is a pretty new concept. You don't want them to appear small, but again, as long as we know they're getting what they need, I don't really give a shit.
Well, it's a funny thing because dairy, and this—that's what this. I don't know if you knew what we were talking about, but
we're all over the place.
Dairy, is such a fat-filled thing, and it's an easy go-to to feed these your children because it's like a one-stop shop. You know it's going to give them this stuff, but it has all these side effects.
Yeah, could be in a bowl of cereal or something.
But it is really easy to think about all the benefits it has, and it's really easy to forget all the other side effects that it has.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of the...
Which we didn't really talk about those side effects.
We can. Cancer.
Yeah.
Like more and more and more, and against, and again, this could be a whole nother show, but against the grain of media or anything that you're going to be shown in, I don't know, whatever sort of social media or however you're consuming news, is that, yes, dairy is bad for you, but it's one of the biggest corporations and money makers in the history of man. Like, above even like tobacco and things like that could really hide for, you know, a century how dangerous they were, like tobacco. Dairy has been hiding the effects.
The next podcast is going to be us commenting on that new documentary about agriculture.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think you mentioned it, yeah.
That's the next one.
We'll check it out, yeah. But yeah, dairy, especially in men, obviously, prostate cancer is the one that they haven't been able to hide. It's directly linked to dairy. Prostate cancer in men. And
cancer in your butthole?
It's so direct that they don't deny it. But
tumors in their butthole?
I don't know about
it. What about for gay men? Does that affect? Is there like polyps in their butthole? Are polyps in your butthole? You know?
If you have prostate cancer?
Prostate's not your butthole, right?
That's how they check if you have prostate issues.
So your prostate's somewhere along the rod of your butthole, but not your butthole.
It's in there somewhere.
Okay. But does that affect, you know what I'm talking about?
Not for you personally,
but maybe for someone else.
I'm trying to talk about dairy and how
I think that's a serious... It's a serious thing. If I got some sort of cancer that was in my vagina, I'd probably try to avoid it.
Yes. Or just cancer in general, I think we're all trying to avoid. Is the point I'm making.
But specifically,
of it's linked to dairy.
You know, that'd be awful. And it would just be like, wait, what? I can't do that anymore? I don't know.
I guess my pushback is whether or not you're having...
Good term.
Oh, God. Whether or not you're having gay sex, I'm pretty sure no one wants prostate cancer.
It's not even gay sex. I think it's just sex in general.
Directly
like
linked to dairy consumption. But breast cancer also is linked.
Mm-hmm.
And studies have proven that. A lot of studies. And we don't have time to get into them. But
we didn't get into any studies. There's a lot out there. There's way too much to talk about right now.
Who's that like, well, yeah. We're out of time, but it's out there. We'll do it next time. We've done it before. It was like a 72,000 woman study done like throughout Europe.
Yeah.
Studying women's health reactions to a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And breast cancer came up, and a lot of different cancers through how much consumption of dairy. But it's something that is really pushed back against from, you know, these big, obviously, dairy conglomerates. But even like, and we've talked about this before too,
awful.
Like kids, diabetes, things like that, or even, I hate to go down this route, but kids that have cancer at a young age and stuff where you can't blame them for any of their life choices.
Yeah,
but it could be linked to
their mothers.
Yes,
is that a study? Is that a thing?
Yeah, we've talked about it. It was in like a real early podcast.
Ugh, that sounds awful. Why did we talk about that?
What's that? Why did or why
that's
didn't?
That's awful.
We?
That's why. Why would we even go there?
Women who consume a lot of dairy.
There's studies about that.
Oh yeah, for sure.
That like if I was pregnant and I ate or you know I had bad habits or whatever, that I gave my child disease.
Yes.
Oh, and the amount
just
of
the look on your face.
Guilt
yeah, it's
that
a
is
hard
like
thing to stomach.
Sitting on me
so
right now.
People
like,
just, I don't know.
That's too heavy.
Yeah, we're all over the place right now. But that's another topic that we've dabbled in and we can again is that it is hard to think about the fact that there might be
your life choices affect your children like that.
Yeah, or even yourself. Like disease. Anyone who has a deadly disease, it's freaking awful and terrible. And at that point, you shouldn't be thinking about whether or not you caused it or not. But if you don't have a deadly disease, maybe we should be thinking about some stuff that, you know, statistically.
How to avoid.
Yeah. And it's not a perfect formula. We're all going to die of something eventually.
Right.
But there's some things that we can avoid that, you know, cause disease.
Going to die by, I don't know. Jumping out of a plane or something.
Yeah, something.
That's how
wrong.
I'm gonna die.
Well, if you're not consuming milk or cheese from cows, you can still get your protein. We already talked about that.
Yeah.
Calcium has been proven to obviously be an important thing to help regenerate your bones. Your bones are constantly growing and regenerating, and they need calcium. But studies have shown that higher amounts of milk intake, dairy,
actually deplete them, right?
Yes. And we've been sold the complete opposite our whole lives, that osteoporosis and other, you know, strong bones come from milk. That you're never going to see that on a milk carton. You might see it on a commercial because they have different regulations, but it's not going to be on a carton because it's illegal to put that on a carton because it's not true.
Really?
Yes. That milk causes strong bones.
Wow.
Yeah, it doesn't. And so that at least our FDA has some standards.
Get away with saying stuff, but you can't write it.
Yes, commercials have different regulations than, you know, what's on the actual product.
That's
like the FDA versus the FCC or, you know, different regulatory agencies have different requirements. But what you actually see on a carton, just like they force, you know, cigarettes to say they're going to kill you, things like that. Like it's a little more regulated. But
I don't read that part. I'm smoking a cigarette.
Just rip that off.
I'm just kidding. I don't smoke cigarettes.
I'm about to. But they don't help you with
bone
regeneration
density.
And all that stuff. Yeah.
Oh, well, you can get calcium from green leafy vegetables.
That's the point I was making. You do need calcium, though.
Yeah.
And you have more of it in
kale
mostly
burgers,
green things.
Like I made for dinner tonight.
Yeah, broccoli and green veggies and beans have a lot of it.
What did I make with broccoli just recently? And it was so good. Oh, that Asian thing. I got like extra. If there's like an Asian market around you, go there and get the tofu from there because their tofu is phenomenally better than the tofu you get at your local grocery store.
Really?
Yes. It's like extra firm. It's extra good. But I got really, really firm. And it's usually like higher in protein, which I know we're not obsessed with protein, but like, I don't know why. Like,
protein's good.
It's ingrained in my head. But anyways, I got the really, really firm tofu and then just coated it in like, what's that called? Corn starch.
Okay.
And then fried it up with some olive oil, not vegetable oil, because I actually like hate vegetable oil and it makes my stomach hurt. So I used olive oil. But and then I put broccoli in there. But you know what I did? This is what I was thinking about. Tip, when you go to cook, turn the heat on your pan for like a minute or two before you put the oil in, because the way most pans are, that there's like little divots and cracks in your pan, like on the like a microscopic level. And when you pour the oil to when you pour oil in your pan before it's heated up, then the oil gets in your pan in those cracks and divots.
Interesting.
But if you heat up your pan for like a second before you put the oil in, that the heat keeps the oil where it needs
expands
to be in the middle
and
of,
fills those cracks.
Yeah. So number one tip. Number two, I heated up my pan. I put oil in it. And then I put like a teaspoon or a tablespoon of that like garlic, the Asian garlic, like, you know, garlic oil sauce. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do not.
That we eat our dumplings with.
Oh, yeah.
It's like cracked.
Like reddish?
Yes. It's like in the Asian section. It's like red chili, oil.
Pepper flakes in it.
And garlic. And it's delicious.
Fantastic.
I mean, you could put it on anything and it's like the most amazing thing ever. But if you heat that stuff up in the oil, that like perfumes the oil. So whatever you put in the pan, it like meanders and, you know, gets through everything that you put in that pan. Whereas if you put it like on top after everything's in there, it's not as like consistent throughout the whole dish and it makes everything hot. So I put the chili flake, chili, garlic, whatever thing in it with the oil. Then I put my tofu in there with the cornstarch, and the cornstarch gives it this like amazing like crust, especially if it's like at high heat. You got to do this at high heat. Don't be scared about high heat. Everything should be made at high heat. And then I put the tofu in like 1/4 of the way till like when I was done, you know, like it was in there for like 7 minutes and I put the tofu in at 7 minutes and then I was done at 10 minutes, if that makes sense. And
yeah.
And then just served it. I think I had like some sweet and sour or orange sauce, like store-bought, you know, and put it over rice. That's like my go-to. I'm by myself meal.
Yeah,
it's like rice, tofu, and broccoli.
I think you should.
Super good, so filling.
Yeah,
so healthy.
Like we try to do this once a week, but like once a day, you should just come down here and turn this on and
about
explain
my food.
What you make because you're good at explaining it,
no.
But you're also good at making it.
Yeah, well, I don't.
And it's really good.
I don't.
Like
do
I feel
that.
Like I could go make that now.
You should.
And
should.
I don't know how to make anything.
That's like the easiest meal to make. It's just rice, tofu, and broccoli.
And it's fantastic.
But warming up.
And it gives
up,
you all the everything you need, pretty much.
Putting the oil in the pan and then putting that chili oil garlic thing in the oil before you put anything else, it just really sent it. It is bizarre how preparing food, like I could take like the same ingredients and fuck it up somehow. That like there is like such an art and a dance of putting stuff in the pan at a certain time and watching it and being like, that's ready, that's not ready, this is too far, like, and like,
yeah,
it's like a dance of like the heat and the food and letting letting the moisture come out and like caramelizing and putting something else in the pan and like taking it out. Like it's a real tight dance of like, you know, what's good. It's just amazing to me that you could do tofu, rice, and cauliflower and broccoli and it'd be so different. It'd be so wild.
Oh, yeah.
if you just followed it at like a different timetable or something.
Well, that's the skill. That's
yeah.
the skill.
But it's just a different meal. It's not like a better meal.
Good thing
different.
Our youngest just likes raw tofu.
He does.
It's so
just
weird.
Raw tofu.
It's disgusting. This is about to die.
Okay.
But that's unheard of.
We didn't talk about dairy. You didn't give me one stat. You didn't give me any numbers. You were just like, Lisa, what do you know about dairy?
Was it? I think it was a good conversation, though.
Lisa, do you want to talk about dairy?
We've done it all, though.
What is it? Is it milk?
This is more of like a...
Is it yogurt?
A refreshing... If you want to hear the statistical stuff out of books, go back to...
Oh.
It's in there.
Shit.
You got to go back 100 episodes, so...
Nice. All right. Well, thanks for listening, and we'll be back because I like doing it, and I want a new basement.
The basement.
Okay. Good night.